This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org. On November 5th, 2013, voters in Albemarle County's Samuel Miller District go to the polls to elect their representative to the Albemarle County School Board. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 24th interview with Eric Strucco. The candidates seeking election in other districts include Kate Acuff in Jack Jewett and Pam Moynihan in Ryo. Mr. Strucco, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow, Seaville Weekly, and the League of Women Voters. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, public education, and community design. As you are aware, some of the questions you will be asked have been provided in advance. Others have not. All county school board candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
I am ready.
Question number one. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Albemarle County School Board.
Well, I am an incumbent. I've served on the school board for the last 4 years. Valuable experience. It offers me insight into how the board operates. It gives me an ability to really figure out ways to push issues through the board, how to trigger discussions. So incumbency is an important experience, I think. But I've also had time and experience on other school boards in Albemarle County. In 2002, Governor Mark Warner appointed me to the Miller School of Albemarle Board of Trustees. I served there for 3 years. I was also on the board of the Free Union Country School for 5 years, served as their treasurer. I always had time on Albemarle County's Long Range Planning Advisory Committee for 3 years. So that's sort of that's the list of my board experience. In terms of personal qualifications, I'm in the process of completing my 6th academic degree. So education is an important part of my everyday life, not just through board service, but through my own experiences. But most importantly, I think I'm a parent of 2 Albemarle County Public School students. My daughter, Claire, is 11 years old, and she's a 6th grader at Henley Middle School, and my son David is 15, and he is a sophomore at Western Albemarle High School.
Question number 2. What is your top priority for action by the school board during the next 4 years?
Selecting a single top priority is difficult. My experience the last 4 years on the board has demonstrated to me that issues do emerge that you do not anticipate, and you have to move quickly to reprioritize what you think you're going to be doing. I have a sort of general overarching priority, and that's to continue to serve as an active representative of a constituency here in Albemarle County that really has high expectations and high demands for the public school system. I believe the people that I represent really expect Albemarle County Public Schools to meet the highest standards with regard to instruction, curriculum, classroom opportunities, and the way the schools are run. So generally speaking, that's my goal for the next 4 years. I mean, there are particular things that I do want to focus on. I want to make sure that Yancey Elementary School has a future here and continues to serve the Esmond community, that the education climate improves at Walton Middle School, that we really understand the impact of changing the high school scheduling that we did a few years ago on how the students perform, including the admissions rates into the top colleges and universities in the country. And I want to start really laying down strong plans for the future demands of Henley Middle School and Western Armagh High School. I think the physical institutions, the physical buildings there are going to start reaching capacity quickly if projections play out. And I'd like to have a solid plan in place for those two institutions.
Question number three. Is your school division recruiting the best teachers and measuring their performance effectively? And a follow-up, how do you know?
Well, we like to say that we are. We like to say that we are putting measures in place to truly recruit and retain the best, whether it's through competitive compensation or the professional climate that we offer here. We give teachers an opportunity to continue to develop as educators through training programs, and that they have a measure of autonomy in the classroom to do instruction as they see fit. But I do think that true measures of our success are really student performance. How are our students doing throughout their school career here in Albemarle County? I think it culminates in high school, and I do think we need to look at the admissions patterns we have in the top 25 national universities or liberal arts colleges, the number of advanced diplomas that our students are earning, are they increasing? Even the general graduation rates of the 2 or 3% that don't graduate, what are we doing to reach 100%? I also think that that constant communication with parents is key. Are they satisfied with the educational experience that their children are having here in the public schools? And if not, what particular aspects are we not delivering? And I think ultimately that satisfaction comes from the child's experience in the classroom. So if that's positive, I know that we're recruiting and retaining the best teachers.
Question number four. Why do we have persistent achievement gaps? And what's the single most important thing you will do to close the gap?
Again, a very good question and a difficult issue. We've placed a lot of attention on the achievement gap, at least with grand intentions. We talk about the gap constantly at our school board meetings. We listen to the observations of the administration with regard to some of the drivers behind the gap. I've heard a number of theories. I just haven't really seen a focused effort to go into the elementary schools in particular and help our teachers in various schools use different methods to make sure that all their students perform well. I really do think that effort has to be focused on the elementary schools. We have a cohort of experienced, accomplished educators we call coaches. I'd like to see the work plan for those coaches really focus on closing the achievement gap in elementary schools and target that effort. Just recently, we learned that three of our elementary schools failed to make the accreditation levels on the SOL test, Yancey Elementary School, Red Hill Elementary School, and Scottsville. I would hope to see in the coming year that our coaches are focused on those three institutions to really see what's happening in the classroom, what challenges those teachers are facing, and offer them good advice and tactics to make sure that those students in particular do well next year.
Question number five. Describe a part of the school division that would benefit from increased city and county cooperation and that you would make a priority.
City-county cooperation, that's been a topic of discussion and again, good intentions for years. And I try to be optimistic about the potential for cooperative projects and arrangements, but the realist in me says that the probabilities, the chances of that happening are pretty slim unless we can really focus in on a very narrow and particular area. I mean, in the past, we've tried everything from combining resources on things that would appear simple, bus routes, supplies and purchasing, but nothing seems to come to fruition. We've even talked about planning a high technology high school together where the city would offer curriculum ideas and the teaching core, the county could offer the physical space, and we could maybe partner with Piedmont Virginia Community College. It seems really a good idea, but we get very little traction, and I'm not looking to place blame on the city side or the county side. I just, again, I'm thinking that when it comes down to city-county relations, it's tough. And the real center of, I think, disputes is money. As long as the revenue sharing agreement is in place between Albemarle County and Charlottesville, I think there'll always be tensions. Even, you know, I was part of the vote to try and reconfigure the formula that calculates the transition of funds from one jurisdiction to the other, and that caused a rift. So a lot of tensions, I think, whether they're active and open or they're just linger beneath the surface of a calm surface, I think they're there. One area that I like to explore, and I think, again, this is an area where both jurisdictions can benefit, is looking at the high school level, perhaps some open enrollment plans so city students can attend county schools and vice versa. We've been doing a lot with academy development in Albemarle County, whether it's the Math, Engineering, and Science Academy at Albemarle High School or the Health Sciences Academy at Monticello. Those are the two in existence today. We're developing a third at Western. But if we can maybe encourage open enrollment within the academies, get an academy started at Charlottesville where there's open enrollment, that may very well be an area where we can kind of bridge the divide a little bit.
Question number six, what's your view of the proliferation of high-stakes standardized tests?
Like anybody who serves on the school board, that has to meet, I think, state requirements or federal. The idea of standardized tests draws serious concern, feelings of serious concern. We are in an era of accountability, no question about it. Funding organizations that are serve as funding sources for the schools really want measures in place so they can see whether we're using their invested dollar wisely. I don't think we'll ever get away from standardized tests. They've been around since I was in school, and of course the SAT is and the ACTs are standardized tests from a different source, but still are very much part of a student's life. So I don't think we'll ever get away from them. But I do think that they can, if proliferated to a point where they are the focus of the curriculum in the classroom, they can be very distracting and take the learning experience away from critical learning skills, like critical evaluation. We find that our students exceed when the curriculum's focused there and not on answering a standardized test question accurately. My personal belief, and I've seen this firsthand demonstrated in isolated ways, but still demonstrated, that a good teacher with a strong curriculum can focus the students toward critical learning skills, and the standardized tests become an afterthought. A student that may be struggling to get a B in an honors history class will get an advanced pass score on a standard of learning test. And the curriculum wasn't geared toward the test. Now, my examples are honors students. These are exceptional students. But I do think that if we focus on strong teaching and a good curriculum, that the students will do well on any standardized test. But I do have concerns that the number and the emphasis placed on them is reaching a point where we have to push back. And just recently, Albemarle County School Board did just that, pushing back on the way that accrediting bodies are looking at test scores and how they treat them. I think there is going to be a bit of a rebellion against standardized tests, because just as we're held accountable through those test scores, the bodies, the agencies, the oversight bodies that are putting those tests out are going to be held accountable for the quality of the tests themselves. Are they assessing what we really want to assess? And so I think the debate will rage on, but my feeling is there's a place for them, but it shouldn't be the emphasis of the curriculum or the classroom experience for our students.
Question number seven. What type of high school should the county plan on building next to address enrollment growth?
So again, another topic of a lot of discussion and debate. I see two forces at play that are going to shape the characteristics of the future high school. One are financial forces. The typical high school is generally a ranch-style facility that consumes a large footprint. Finding 100 acres for a new high school site to handle a facility plus the athletic fields and parking and all the other ancillary services that need to be accommodated is going to be very difficult and or expensive. So I do think that we have to look at new facilities, a new notion of facilities in the future to keep a new high school building within our ability to pay for it. The second force at play accompanying the financial pressures is the presence of new technologies. I think learning is really changing shape. Online courses, asynchronous discussion groups, having materials available for self-study, guided self-study, those seem to be the new emerging trend in academia, whether it's at the university level, high school, or high school level. And I think that leveraging the technology and a new desire among students to guide a part of their educational experience would help us plan a new high school. The need for all the ancillary space may not be necessary. Space could be shared instead of dedicated. So I do think that the technology and the financial pressures are going to shape our vision of what a new high school building would be. What I'm seeing is a smaller facility that does use various technologies to enhance learning. I do see shared space as well. So I'm optimistic about the future in this regard. I think that we have, Albemarle County has an opportunity to be at the forefront of the thinking regarding high school facilities and the curriculum and the mechanism used to deliver that curriculum in the future. And I like over the next 4 years to really focus on laying the plans out for that. So again, I see a smaller building that doesn't have the appearance of a typical high school, but is wired for technology.
Question number 8. Name one specific area of the school division's budget that you are concerned about and tell us why. And do you think it deserves more funding or less?
The capital budget and more funding. I think over the last several years, as the economy experienced a downturn, as local governments, state governments, and even the federal government looked to really contract the budget, that our capital spending plan really took a hit. I do think that over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, the facilities in our community are sort of in deficit now. We're trying to squeeze useful lives beyond the typical expectation regarding even technology, but also brick and mortar facilities. We've had a maintenance budget with maybe one project in the capital plan for many years. And I do think now that we have a facilities disparity. And I'll use elementary schools as an example, but I think Greer Elementary School experienced the last significant construction project, and the space is beautiful. Those kindergarten, first and second graders really have a contemporary learning space. And I compare that to the students at Yancey Elementary School. Smaller school, more remote, but the learning spaces are very different. And I do think we need to start closing that disparity, and which means that we have to start dedicating more funds to capital. I do think we missed an opportunity. As the economy went into recession, fiscal policy was fairly immediate and obvious, resulting in some of the lowest interest rates I think we've seen ever. Savvy organizations really took advantage of that. That's when they started going to the capital markets, issuing bonds where interest rates are extraordinarily low, and really investing in facility. Albemarle County did not take advantage of that. I tried to make the case on several instances, and unfortunately the school board doesn't have the power of the purse, so I had to attempt to convince several supervisors that now is the time to actually issue debt. In the long run, taxpayers would benefit because of the low interest rates, and we could stimulate our local economy through construction projects at the schools. But that argument did not prevail, and so here we are. I do think interest rates still offer an opportunity, although not as lucrative in the past, but I do think we need to really beef up our capital budget, and that's what I'll be advocating for over the next 4 years.
Question number 9. Business leaders and social service agencies say that new investments are sorely needed in the area of early childhood education. Will you work with the Albemarle supervisors to make pre-K education and quality child care a priority, and if so, how?
Yes. Simple answer is yes. I think the wisdom of the business leaders and social services agencies that are saying new investments are needed in early childhood education really understand what adds value to a community. One of the first areas of evaluation of any community is the strength of the public school system. I think that attracts people to come here to work or to live. I think that also attracts businesses. Businesses will go where the local governments are strong in terms of delivering services with public education. It makes localities a desirable place to germinate a business. Plus, if we're attracting people, this is where the market is. You move where your customers are. So I think public education's at the center of it. If there's any one vulnerable area in public education, it probably is that early childhood experience. And so I think that's a great area to target. I do believe in pre-K education, and I think that we have it at a few of our schools, but it's not spread out to all the elementary schools as it should. I like to start with good information. I would do, as the administration, and I would and participate in it as well, an assessment of what elementary schools are facing the greatest demand for pre-K education, where the students coming in, where English is a second language and communication, just fundamental communication, is a problem, or where students are coming into elementary school deficient in terms of fundamental skills, math, reasoning, and reading. And once we have targeted places where we can intervene, I would work to continue to develop programming in pre-K education in those areas. I have to admit I don't know the extent of the problem as of right now, so probably my first step would be to educate myself on what we're facing, and then add that as a priority in our annual budgeting.
Eric Strucco, thank you for participating in this interview.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.